For scripture reading this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading with verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
As we pointed out 2 weeks ago, and I know that all of you remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the Gospel of Luke contains 10 chapters that record a part of Jesus' life and ministry that is largely passed over in the other Gospel accounts. One of the unique events of this unique section of Luke introduces us to one of the most famous set of siblings in all the Bible, and that is Martha and her little sister Mary. And then later on in John's Gospel, we meet their brother, Lazarus, whom you remember that Jesus raised from the dead. These siblings lived in Bethany, a village about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And Bethany means poorhouse. Ever felt like you live in Bethany? The poorhouse? But Bethany was a town that was really built for the sick. We know that Simon the leper lived there, and there were other lepers that lived in that town. The poor were there. They had an almshouse where people could come and get financial assistance. And it was the last station for pilgrims on their journey from Galilee into the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Now, it's possible that Jesus knew this family prior to this event, but the Bible does not say whether he did or not. What the Bible does say is that when Jesus came to Bethany, Martha received them into her home. Now, this meant that she was taking upon herself a great deal of responsibility. In Bible days, hospitality was a big deal. These days, we don't know what hospitality is. We don't receive guests. We don't have folks just drop in. We don't have guest rooms any longer most of the time. We don't have parlors where we sit and meet folks like they did in the old days. But in Bible times, hospitality was a big deal, and it had several responsibilities. It meant greeting your guest warmly. If it was a man, they'd kiss each other on the cheeks. I'm glad, personally, we've done away with that. But a warm greeting. It required providing an opportunity to wash up, and particularly to wash their feet after a long, dusty walk through the dusty roads of Israel. And sometimes the host did it, sometimes their servants did it. It meant providing ointments or oils with which to anoint themselves. You imagine walking outside all day, maybe folks didn't smell so good, didn't feel very refreshed, and so they would provide ointments to run through their hair and just to freshen up some and to feel better. Remember when Jesus, in Luke 7, when Jesus went to a Pharisee's house and the woman came in and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and kissed his feet? And then anointed his head with spikenard. And Jesus told the Pharisee, who was to be the one hospitable, he said, when I came into your house, you gave me no kiss, and she kissed my feet. You gave me no welcome. He said, you provided me no ointment for my head, but she anointed my head with oil. And he said, you didn't wash my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears. And so Jesus was rebuking this Pharisee for his lousy hospitality. And so you provided water to wash up, ointments to refreshen yourself. You provided food. You provided conversation. You actually had to spend time with your guests and talk and converse and to keep them company. And then you provided a safe place for them to sleep. So this was a lot of responsibility. But Martha gladly and willingly took this upon herself. She owned a home, and she opened that home to Jesus. And we don't know, was she a widow and was left the house? Was this the family home? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were orphaned, and they were left the family estate by their parents. We don't know. Doesn't matter. What matters is it says it was her home and she welcomed Jesus into her home. Now this morning I want you to consider some thoughts about Martha, Mary, and the perfect choice. Number one, it's good to welcome Jesus into your home. It's good to welcome Jesus into your home. Martha was not under any obligation. There was not a committee in town that allocated guests to certain people's house and she just got stuck with Jesus. She willingly invited Jesus and received Him into her house. It was her decision, and it was a good decision. And because of that, her life was changed. Her sister's life was changed. And later on, when her brother died, I think we could say that his life was changed, wasn't it? And so all of that went back to Martha receiving Jesus into her home. In verse 42, Martha called Jesus Lord. This tells us that her faith was in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. They just call Lord without meaning. When she called Him Lord, she was saying, "You're my Savior, you're my Lord." In John chapter 11, you remember when Lazarus died and Martha sent that urgent prayer request to Jesus by telegram. And Jesus received the message, but He did not come immediately. He let Lazarus die. And when Jesus finally came to town, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha met Jesus outside the town walls. And I think she was a little upset. And she said, "Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died." That was an accusation. And she was speaking out of a broken heart with grief. And Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." And then He put her on the spot and He said, "Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe that faith in Me will cause you to never die?" And here's what she said. Through her tears and her grief, she said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That was her rock solid conviction that Jesus was Christ and the Son of God. And she had believed upon Him. She wasn't just receiving someone into her house. She received Him into her heart as her personal Savior. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, make it personal. Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior? Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Perfectly pictured by Martha receiving Jesus into her house. And they're sitting down eating together. Jesus stands outside the door of our hearts. And He said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door." See, it's your choice. God does not kick the door in. He does not pick the lock. Nor does He force someone to receive Him as Savior. It is your choice, your decision to say yes or no. And when He stands at the door and knocks, that's the time you need to say, "Yes, Lord," and open the door then. Because what I found is, what sounds loud at first, maybe the next time is, and then it's. Who said you get 1,000 chances to receive Jesus? Maybe He comes by your house one time. Why not receive Him then? Why not say yes immediately to Christ? She did a good thing by inviting Jesus into her home. And we say it's not just good to have Jesus in your heart. It is good to have Jesus in your home as well. To have mother and father and children building their lives around the Word of God and loving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and knowing Him and praying to Him. And having a genuinely Christian home, a life that is living for Jesus Christ, that's a wonderful thing. Let me point out a second thought. And that is that Jesus doesn't come alone. Let me call some men up on the platform to help me with this. I want you to see what she was doing. All right, Brother Burkett, Brother Dart, Brother Losey, Brother Camp, Michael and Andrew and Michael, Stephen, Junior, Herschel, Brother Parks. That should be 12 of you. Come on up. We all want to see your face. Spread out around me up here. Is that 12? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You missed me up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You ever think maybe when the Lord was with his disciples, they went somewhere and someone said, I think we left John back at Walmart. I don't know. Had to count them up, head count. All right, I need one more. Lorenzo, come on up here, Lorenzo. I just want to picture this for you. You're Martha, all right? And you're going to invite Jesus over to your house for dinner. But he's not coming alone. You got to take care of all these guys. 13 total, counting Jesus. Now, folks, I don't know how big your house is, but I think these guys would fill up your house. What do you think? Huh? We had the Winkles over to our house for lunch last week, and it was raining, so everyone had to stay in the house. That was our big plan, sending all the kids outside, ruined it. And there were like 20 of us in there, it seemed like. And our house was full. Can you imagine Martha and Mary, and they're going to invite Jesus, but Jesus doesn't just come alone, does he? No, he comes with Peter and John and Andrew and all the rest of the bunch. And so she had to take all of these men. I mean, listen to me now. When you get saved, you're saved by Jesus alone. But the church comes with Jesus. And here's where a lot of folks don't like it. They want Jesus, want to have a relationship with Jesus, but they don't want the church interfering with stuff too. Well, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. You want to have Jesus in your home, sooner or later the church is coming into your home too. Now, it might be easier, and you might say, well, I don't know if I mean, Michael eats like a pig, and this Michael's got his feet up on my coffee table, you know, and Brother Ron, he's just everywhere, and I mean, and so that's frustrating. I have to deal with all these people in my house. I just wanted Jesus for dinner. No, you have to have the church with him. Yeah. And that's where a lot of folks get frustrated, and some folks don't want that. They don't want the church interfering with their lives. But it's going to interfere with your lives, isn't it? Thank you, guys. Let's give them a hand. They did good as the 12 apostles. I'll let you decide which one is Judas. Yeah, Judas is in there stealing jewelry out of your bedroom when you're not looking. I mean, so salvation is through Jesus alone. But when Jesus is your Lord and Savior, there's a church that ought to come into your life because it's His church and His plan. And a lot of folks, they don't like that. But following Jesus and fellowshipping with Jesus is going to require us to make the church part of our lives as well. You can't get away from the church in the New Testament. It's all about the church. The church, the church, the church. Because God's plan for us is to get saved, get baptized, and become a member of a local New Testament church. Jesus gave us commandments. They cannot be practiced without the church. He said to love one another, forbear one another. He said for us to admonish one another and to fellowship with one another and to bear one another's burdens. You can't do that if all you do is sit at home and say, I'm just going to fellowship with Jesus. I don't care about the church. Then you're not going to be able to practice most of the commandments that Jesus gave you in the New Testament. Many don't like that. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be around other Christians. They don't want to serve. They don't want to fellowship. They don't want to be bothered about any offering plates or financial obligations. They don't tithe 10%. They don't even give 1%. They don't give nothing. They're not interested in that kind of stuff. They don't want to be bothered by time-consuming things at church that eat into their video game schedule or their fishing schedule or their other stuff they'd like to do. They don't want to be bothered with Wednesday night services. They don't want to be bothered with helping to set up or break down after a service. They don't want to be bothered with a Mother's Day banquet or ladies' meeting or ladies' night out or going to camp or helping with Sunday school or any of that stuff. They just want Jesus in their home, but they don't want the church. But Jesus doesn't come alone, does he? You got to put up with Peter too. You got to put up with John and Andrew. You got to put up with each other and learn to love each other. By the way, Christianity is not just putting up with each other; it's learning to love each other. Folks in churches, they either don't attend. They get there right after the service starts, so they don't have to accidentally shake anyone's hand or talk to anybody. Leave as soon as the invitation's over, so they don't have to bother with anyone else. They don't want to stay for anything. They don't want to help with anything. They don't want to give to anything. They don't want missions meeting. They don't want this. They don't want that. They want nothing. They just want to sit around and talk about how much Jesus loves them, but they don't want to talk about or deal with the other men that Jesus brought into the house, the church. I tell you, my friends, that salvation is through Jesus alone. But fellowship and service and following Jesus means the church is going to become a part of your life. Well, let me point out a third thought, if I haven't already offended you. And that is that Martha had good intentions, but Mary had the right priorities. Now, Martha got reproved in this story, but understand that Martha was not a bad person. In fact, Martha was a great lady. And except for the fact that she was a lady, I kind of understand how she felt. I feel like her sometimes too. She had taken this responsibility and she was going to make it happen. That was her. She probably had a lifetime subscription to Better Homes and Gardens. If she was around today, she'd be on Pinterest every day getting ideas for cooking and baking and stuff. Now, she would never do any of it, but she would have actually done some of those things too. I just looked at the pictures. And she had taken this responsibility, and none of this would be even happening if not for Martha's decision to receive Jesus into her house. And she's putting together what I believe must have been a big fancy meal for Jesus and 15 people, at least 15 people. And she doesn't want to just throw a few hot dogs together. Of course, she would have got the Hebrew National hot dogs. She just want to have Hebrew National hot dogs for Jesus. She wants a nice meal. She wants something that's going to be impressive. And so, I mean, when my wife, when she hosts and have people over, I'm like, honey, it's just my parents. You don't have to fix this. I mean, she's got salad and she's got olives and she's got all these appetizers and stuff. And then she's got the main meal and she's baking bread and then she's got dessert. You think this happens by accident? I mean, that's how Martha was. And she's got all these good intentions and she wants to do something special for Jesus. Jesus said that she was careful and troubled, all stressed out, pulled all over the place by things that needed doing. You ever have trouble focusing? Yeah, I do. You know, here we have Jesus sitting in the living room and He's teaching. Now, this is such a famous scene in the Bible that many artists have painted renditions of it. One in particular that I saw came from the 16th century. And of course, he made everyone look European. But his idea was Jesus sitting in the living room. He's on a couch. And the other men are scattered around the room. And Mary is sitting like on a footstool at Jesus' feet. And she's listening to Jesus. And then over in the back of the picture, you see Martha bending in front of the oven, reaching in to get, and she's got the ugliest scowl on her face. She's so mad. Everyone else is in here at peace, and Jesus is talking, and Mary's listening, and Martha's over here, angry, nobody's helping me. Perfectly capturing in one picture what Martha was going through. Now, Mary's sitting, Martha's working. Martha didn't appreciate that. I know how that feels, because I hate it when I'm working and everyone else is standing around. Or anyone else is standing around. Let me just tell the kids, if something needs to be done, I see kids standing around, I just grab them. Hey, do this, move this. That's what kids are for. And she's mad. At first she got busy, then she got frustrated, then she started feeling sorry for herself, then she got mad at her sister, and then she said things when she was frustrated that normally she wouldn't have said. Do you ever say things you shouldn't when you're frustrated? Maybe you'd like to take back when you're not frustrated? Got to watch out when you get busy and frustrated and then you get angry. And then she got self-righteous and she blamed Mary and she blamed Jesus. I mean, Mary's wrong for sitting there. Jesus is wrong for letting her. They're both wrong, but not Martha. She got to feeling angry, sorry for herself, and now she's a martyr. You ever think you deserve a martyr's crown? You're doing it all. No one else is helping. Jesus doesn't care. Just kind of suffering down here in front of the oven. Verse 40 said, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning on Sunday morning. You're a little frustrated and confused and irritated with life. Can I tell you, please, please, please sit down. Sit down for a little while at Jesus' feet. Get back to reading your Bible every day. Get back to attending church every service. You know, if you could actually go to church every service for a whole month, it might actually change your life. My goodness. Sit down and spend some time with the Lord. Now, Martha had good intentions, but Mary had the right priorities. I don't think Mary was lazy or shirking responsibility. I'm confident that Mary was going to help and be a good hostess just like her sister. But there's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. Every morning, early in the morning, every morning, the first one up makes the coffee at our house. It's more biblical for Hebrews than, but every morning I see my wife reading her Bible. Every morning. reading her Bible. No matter how busy the day is, reading her Bible. Now, she reads hers on an iPad mini right now, and she has it read to her with little electronic voice recordings, which to me is too weird. She likes it. So, it's all right. She reads it, and it reads to her, and she probably gets more out of it that way. And but every morning she reads her Bible, spends some time in prayer. No matter how busy things are, she reads her Bible. There's a time to serve, and there's a time to sit. There's a time to serve, there's a time to sit. Mary had the right priorities. Being at church is no excuse for missing time at Jesus' feet, but sitting around your house is no excuse for missing church. You need to read your Bible, and you need to be at preaching, and you need to be at teaching. You know, I was at a church a while back. I've been at several churches like this. The pastor's wife is never in church. You say she doesn't attend? Oh, she attends, but she's in the nursery every service. Now, listen, I got to live with her. She needs preaching too. But I was at a church and I said, "Where's your wife?" "She's in the nursery." I said, "She's been in the nursery every service, hasn't she?" "Yeah." I'm looking around. The church is twice the size of ours. There are no ladies in that church that could take her place in the nursery. That's why I thank God for our nursery ladies. And even though most of you don't have kids in the nursery anymore, if you ever did, you still help out. And you miss one service. I don't want someone in the nursery every service. Because you need to have time to sit and listen to preaching too. I was at a church where when the preaching was about to get started, all the women left. They went out to the gym, their gym, to get lunch ready for dinner on the grounds. So that none of them got any preaching. They all went out to get lunch ready. Now, I'm sorry. There's a good part, and that means the opposite is not a good part. And when it's time to sit, it's time to sit. And when it's time to serve, it's time to serve. I guarantee you, most of them were out there talking most of the time, and probably would have taken about 10 minutes to actually get the meal ready, and the guys could have waited. But see, what happens is we are so busy serving that we're not taking the time to sit. Mary had the right priority. And Jesus said to her that she has chosen the good part. When it's time to go to church, that's the good part. Well, I got my muffler fell off. My sink's backed up. My toilet overflowed. Well, choose the good part. Go to church. It'll still be falling off, filled up, and overflowing when you get home. Well, I had to stay and do this. I had to stay and do that. If your house isn't burning down or flooding over, come to church. I mean, we've got to choose the right things. Jesus said that she had chosen the good choice, the right part. Having Jesus there was a rare opportunity. He wasn't there all the time. And Martha missed it. Mary said, "I'm not missing it." Now listen, I know that I'm not Jesus. But I will say this, that every sermon here is unique. And the one you miss is probably the one you need. And you're not going to get it again. So you may preach that in 10 years from now, or maybe not. Or maybe that service is something you really need. And it doesn't happen again. Well, I'll just download it. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. Downloading sermons is only when you can't go to church, not when you choose not to. It's because you think you can listen to the sermon later. You need to be at church. You need to take the time to sit and to listen. And so, Martha had good intentions, but Mary had the right priorities. And then fourthly, Jesus answered Martha and commended Mary. He said, "Martha, Martha." Now, why did he have to say her name twice? Here's how I picture it. Jesus is sitting there. Martha comes around the corner. "Don't you care? Tell my sister to come out and help me." And she's already going around the corner before anyone can say anything. I can just picture him. I can see it plain as day. "She should be helping me. I'm out of here. You know, Martha, Martha." He had to call her back. She's already rushing off to do something else, all in a frazzle. Now, he recognized her problems. Jesus was very kind and gracious to her, wasn't he? He knew that she had good intentions. And he basically said, "I know you've got a lot going on. You're careful, you're stressed out, you're worried and troubled. I can just see your eyes filling up with tears. Yes, Lord, you understand. I know you're all stressed out and worried. You're trying to serve a good meal. And you're troubled about stuff. But your sister Mary, she chose the good part. She chose the right portion, is what he's saying, the right portion. You see, he said, then one thing is needful. See, there were two meals being served that day. One was physical and one was spiritual. Mary was going to get both. Martha was only going to get one. And so Jesus said, one thing is needful, Martha. Two meals being prepared, two portions being prepared. And she chose the good part, the spiritual. You chose the physical. You could have had both. We could have waited for dinner. And the dishes will wait. And the serving will wait. And so we've got to realize that one thing is needful. Well, I've got to have this. I need to have that. One thing is needful. And that is meeting the spiritual needs of man. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Mary chose the good portion, the words of Jesus. Martha didn't get it. Now Jesus ended it by saying, Martha, I'm not taking that away from Mary. She's chosen the good part and I'm not going to kick her out of the service. Of course not. Well, if Martha had been like many professing Christians today, she would have gotten angry at the Lord and found another church to go to. But she didn't. Later on in John's Gospel, we find her again when her brother died, expressing her faith in Jesus. And then in John 12, we find another dinner being prepared, and we find Jesus sitting at the table with Lazarus, and Mary's there. And it says, Martha served them. She's still serving. But it wasn't time to sit, it was time to serve, and so she's serving. Let me ask you this morning, have you invited Jesus into your life? Is He your personal Savior? Have you invited Jesus into your home? Do you have a Christian home? Have you invited Jesus in, and have you welcomed the church into your life as well? Well, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't want church interfering with stuff. Well, sometimes you got to have 12 men around. That's a little inconvenient sometimes. Sometimes the church is inconvenient. You know what is part of living the Christian life. So have you invited Jesus into your life? Have you invited Jesus into your home? Have you welcomed the church into your home? Are you trying to live by good intentions, but you have the wrong priorities? Put God first. God first always. You'll never go wrong putting God first. Are you one who sits at Jesus' feet and hears His Word? Or are you frustrated, troubled, stressed out? Pulled seven ways to Sunday, spread too thin, now you're angry about it. Could it be that you just haven't been spending the time you should be sitting and hearing Jesus' Word?